everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
The Twitter question of the day, the poll, you can go to Sports Hub, try it right now and vote on this. One game, winner takes all situation. Who would you want to be your coach? Coach K from Duke or Roy Williams from Carolina? And Sawyer, I'm kind of feeling a certain way this morning. So speaking of Roy Williams and Carolina, go ahead and hit that music for me.
How do I say goodbye?
So, great season. But this was not meant to be.
The good time
Our boys did well. We had some great times.
I thought we could.
So many things that we didn't get to do.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in, or you can hit us up at Sports Hub Triad on our Twitter account. Let's go ahead and get to the business at hand here.
Hey, I'm very impressed with you two. You guys, I was afraid to come in this morning. I'm thinking, oh my God, two Carolina guys, it's going to be depressing.
Sawyer's Carolina too.
Been very pleasant to this point.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We got 2 hours in here, so we'll see if some anger comes out here in the next couple of minutes. But before we get into what happened last night, if you want to see the Carolina Thunderbirds at the Annex, I think they only have one more homestand left. We've got about 30 tickets available. They're only $5. Check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Thunderbird deal at sportscarolinamonthly.com. Get those single game tickets for only $5, plus ECBL action tonight. The Winston-Salem Wolves are here. Tonight is college night. College students get in free with a college ID. The Wolves are playing the Carolina Chosen Lions. They're from Rocky Mount at 5 p.m. today at Forsyth Country Day School. Rod Funderburk will teach people how to do the wolf howl. So visit WSWolves.com for ticket information. Sports Carolina Monthly will have discount tickets all season long for home games for the Wolves, who are on top of the Northeast Division and have multiple all-star candidates, including Laprise Lynch, who played at Mount Tabor, Eleanor Banks, who played at Glenn, and Antonio Robinson, who played at Parkland. So definitely go and check them out tonight if you don't want to watch the Final Four. Well, not the Final Four, the Elite Eight games are coming out, and I might boycott the rest of this tournament anyway. So let's get into what happened last night. First, starting off with, of course, Carolina and Auburn. Let me pull up their box score here, because Auburn, I don't know how many threes
17.
They ended up shooting.
They hit 17. I think it was out of 36, I believe.
Yeah.
About 50%. Good Lord.
Yeah, they had 51 points in threes, and they look marvelous.
They played like Carolina has for most of the year.
They did. I mean, they had scored 97 points. How often does that happen?
Yeah, we were in a group text last night talking about this game as it was going on, and being Carolina fans, I think I didn't want to say it. Rod beat me to it. Normally, I don't get online at all during a Carolina game, but it's probably about, I don't know, maybe about 14 minutes left in the second half. And Rod hit us up with Auburn's going to win this game or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And John, of all people, Johnny O was trying to talk Rod off the ledge. I didn't say anything because I knew. I knew at that point. I was like, yeah, it's starting to feel like it was starting to feel like that Michigan game back in November where it just kind of kept snowballing and we couldn't hit anything.
It did. And then they showed Roy Williams on the side just going at the guys. I'm not going to say he was cussing them out, but he was definitely letting them have it.
That one time out where he was like,
right, which was the exact picture of the Michigan game.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, Roy, now you decide to call timeout.
Yeah. Well, he didn't really need to before. There was one stretch, I think, in the first half when it was second half when they started to pull away a little bit.
It was right at
the 20.
Well, it was right at the end of the first half. They went on an 8-2 run.
Mm-hmm. And then they continued it when they came out. Yeah. They went to like a 16-0 run or something crazy like that. Auburn might be underseeded. They are a 5 seed, but
that's
they
a
won
good team. When they're hitting threes, they're a great team.
Then they win.
That's what
the
Bruce
SEC?
Pearl says.
Then they win the SEC tournament.
I believe they did.
They did.
So they're the SEC champ.
So they're on
right?
a roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got all they beat SEC. Tennessee in the SEC.
Oh, that reminds me. That was the only thing that bothered me about last night. Not the fact that they lost, of course, that bothered me. But at the end of the game, the crowd started chanting SEC. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
I don't even think I kept the TV on long enough.
At the very end of the game, as the clock's getting dribbled out, it's about a minute left to go, 30 seconds to go, the whole crowd started chanting SEC.
And oh,
I was
wow.
like, I was like, oh, okay.
I missed that.
All right, then. I took that as a shot.
But we were in their country. We were in the Midwest.
I know.
You know, I mean, we were not at home for sure.
And Kentucky was in the same building and ended up. So it's going to be all SEC.
Yeah. Oh, it's an SEC crowd. Yeah. I mean, it's going to. And I tell you, man, Auburn, you have to give Auburn kudos. You know, some folks called me last night and they said, well, you know, Cam Johnson was sick and Nasir Little was sick. I said, man, no excuses. I said, look, we go out there and play the game. Granted, Williams was at the end crying. I didn't feel bad for Williams because I said, you know what? Play better.
Right.
You play better, you don't cry. That's just what it is. You know, either you want the game or the other team wants the game. And there were so many instances where Auburn chased down rebounds. Yeah. Auburn took that extra energy to go after those balls.
It's the hunger, man.
Yeah,
they
man.
Wanted it. They wanted
and
it
they
bad.
Ran. And I tell you what, I believe Auburn might win the whole thing.
They could.
These guys ran. Just like Carolina did, they just had the extra thing that we didn't have, which is the three-point shooting. So if you add that and running, I don't see anybody beating them if they continue that.
Okay, if they stay that hot, yeah.
On the three-point shooting, all right, I mean, I'm watching the game, and, you know, Auburn was just banging them in, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were – it was unbelievable. And a couple bank shots, which must have just grinded
the one from the top of the key, the big man the threw up
but
at the end of the
my
shot
question,
clock.
And I've been all Roy Williams all year long, because I really do. I think he's a great coach, and I love him. I like the way he handles his players and all that kind of good stuff. But guard the three. Why weren't they going out on these guys?
They were, but Auburn was shooting like 27-foot three-pointers.
There was still a lot of open cushion
in between. There were some open threes, too.
I think that goes back to Auburn's team because, remember, sometimes they would guard the three at the beginning, but then that those two guards would blow
right to the hole, past
the defender. It was
layups.
No problem. Yep. Yeah.
This is the thing that calmed me down, and I told some of you guys this morning when I first walked in, that I should have realized throughout the season, because it's Carolina and I've watched them literally my entire life. North Carolina has never won a national championship without a prominent big man, ever. Maybe 57 and when they were playing Wilt Chamberlain in Kansas. But in the modern era, during my lifetime, they've never done it. Let's just run 82, they had Sam Perkins. Mm-hmm. 93, they had Eric Montross.
Mm-hmm.
05, they had Sean May.
Mm-hmm.
09, they had Tyler Hansborough. 2017 was Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks and Tony Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
This year, who was the prominent big man on this Carolina team? Garrison Brooks?
He would have been the only one. He's the only one who even played like a big man.
But it's 2019, it's a whole brand new basketball game.
I would agree with that normally, but if Carolina had not just been to two of the past three Final Fours playing the way they always play, which is run, but push the offense through a big man, kick it out for a three, mm-hmm. we did the reverse this year. It was all perimeter, three-point shooting. It's still the same thing. Get the ball. Even if the other team scores, get the ball out of the cup and run down the court, score in 5 seconds if you can. But we didn't have that guy where if we're missing those threes like last night, like this game happened in 2017. Like when we played Oregon and when we played Alabama and when we played Gonzaga, we couldn't shoot. Like our offense was us shooting the ball, missing it, and one of those big guys rebounding it and putting it in.
Putting it right back.
That was the offense. I mean, it was ugly, but it worked. Yeah. And it would have worked last night, too.
Let me ask you this question. As bad as Auburn beat the Heels, I mean, they blew them away. Now, the Heels kept coming back. Remember they got within 10 a couple times? And then it got down to seven at one time. And then all of a sudden you look and, you know, it's back up to 16. But, okay, Auburn looked great yesterday and they're on a roll. Here's a question for you. If the Tar Heels were going to play Auburn again tomorrow, what would happen?
Depends on how well Cam Johnson and Nasir Little are, because
let's say they're healthy.
If they're healthy, a neutral court, I think Carolina probably wins the game. I'm not going to use it as an excuse. It's not an asterisk or whatever, but it was a huge part of the game. Cam Johnson spiked a fever Thursday night. He wound up going 4 of 11 from the floor and scoring only 15 points.
And you got to have that guy playing. The heels count on that guy.
Nasir Little was averaging 20 points a game in the tournament coming into this. He didn't practice all week with the same symptoms. He wound up only scoring 4 points.
They've been used to not having him because he was in and out all season long.
Yeah, I mean, Nasir's had a lot of random injuries and things going on all year. And not this show, but sometime later on, we're going to talk about Nasir and Coby White and their futures and what might happen with them.
Coby White, my man, played horrible yesterday.
He did not have a good game.
Now, speaking
dribbling,
of,
all he did, was, he, all he wanted to do was dribble.
Yeah.
And he lost the ball. Turnovers? He must have had five or six.
He kept trying to go behind the back, and they were just double teaming him.
And then when I saw Roy, I'm looking, there's 2 minutes and 13, or
3 minutes.
3 minutes. And he's got him on the bench.
Yep, he took him out. He gave
and
up.
Well, and the game was still within 10.
Well, when he first sent the guy over to the scorer's table, there was 6 minutes or something left in the second half, it felt like. And they went past the official timeout because there was no stoppage in play. By the time they got to the stoppage in play, Roy had four guys sitting over there. And they finally got him out. But it was 2 minutes left in the game at that point, and they were up 20. So
it was over.
Yeah, by that point, it was pretty much over. And I don't know. I thought I'd feel worse about it, but – actually, all right. I feel better. I didn't make the bet that they were trying to get me to make on the radio yesterday, because at this point I would have to keep rooting for Duke to get to the national championship to win the bet, which would have made this worse. And we haven't even talked about Duke escaping again last night.
But before we
sound sour, but I mean, come on, y'all. Come on, man. How many times are they going to win like this?
But before we move on, I do want to mention Coby White. Yep. You know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what it takes to get to the national championship. I don't know if you guys remember me bringing this up. But I said, you've got to have that one player in your lineup who can roll it.
Yep.
And my comment was, I didn't feel like we had one. You know, I know we thought that Coby White may have been it. But to me, being a freshman, you get that deep in the tournament, you have to rely on some senior leadership. I would have liked to have seen Coby get the ball to May more. I would have even liked to see him get it to Cam Johnson more, even though Cam was sick and not feeling well. It's just something about Cam and Luke. Whenever the game has been on the line lately, they could always go to those two guys and they would just pull it out.
Yep.
And I didn't see that happening. I saw Coby take some bad shots. Like you said, Dez, Coby was dribbling around. Johnny, he lost the ball. I don't know what was on Coby White's mind last night.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like the one thing that I saw was last night there was no – I don't know about you guys, but there was no leadership from a single player when they were down.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like that was probably needed, either Kenny or Cam or Luke or somebody to step up. Even Coby, I mean, anyone.
Well,
the whole time it was just they were all just laying down, walking around. It was no
sick.
Urgency.
Yeah, normally it's Cam Johnson. I've mentioned it in here before. Yeah. Normally what happened this year, regardless of where they were second half or halftime, second half, the formula would be Cam Johnson would hit a three or something right out of the gate or a shot. He'd hit the first couple of shots that kind of get him going, and then Carolina would start to roll. Next thing you know, they're up by 15 or whatever, 8 minutes into the second half. Cam being sick took that away. Kenny Williams actually hit a couple. He had a pretty good first half and kept him in it. I don't know where Luke May was last night. He just
part
of the scenery.
And I even thought,
what did he end up with? You got those
let me pull the box.
And I even thought when Okiki for Auburn got hurt, that maybe, you know, they attack the middle or something. And they did not attack the middle. And I tell you what, Okiki is a heck of a player. And really hated to see that guy go down yesterday.
Sad, man.
And I mean, it really looked like an ACL tear it looked bad.
In the NCAA term, I hate when an injury happens like that. You know, when they're still going, it just takes away from
And
it,
that man. Was a bad injury. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't think they reported it yet because I think he goes for MRI today.
Yeah.
But Okiki, man, he was a heck of a guy down low.
I had that happen to me in high school where I tore a bunch of ligaments in my leg playing basketball. So when I saw it and there was no contact and the way his knee buckled, I was like, yeah, that's an ACL. He tore his ACL. But we don't know for sure. We're not doctors, but we'll find out here soon enough. This might be what I might have to do here, because I had this written out where we were going to do Duke and Carolina in the same segment. I kind of think they both deserve their own segment, so I'm going to kind of push stuff down one just so I'm giving the guys in the control room an idea of what we're doing. We probably will not get to NFL stuff today because there's just so much that was happening. Maybe. It was mainly all Rob Gronkowski. So we'll see what we get to with that. But we got Ed on the line, regular caller, wanting to call in. He's a UNC fan, too. Glad to see you're still up and at him this morning, Ed. You're talking on the Rundown, man. What's going on?
Yeah. You guys covered Carolina quite a bit. My main concern was they just wasn't into the ball game. They got out hustled. The offensive rebounds killed us. And then when the second half started, they shot 67% from three, you know, and you just can't do that. And congratulations have got to go out to the whole Auburn staff and the coach. Can I talk about Duke, or do you want me to call back later?
I want you just to call. Go ahead.
Ed, real quick. I mean, you say a team wasn't ready to play. It's a sweet – and I'm not – you know, because they didn't look ready to play to me either, but it's a sweet 16 game to get into the – or what is it? Yeah, Sweet 16 to get in an Elite Eight. And they're playing Auburn, who just won the SEC. They better have been ready. I hate hearing that. I agree with you, Ed, but I just when I hear that about a team when it's such a big game, man, it's just hard to believe that they wouldn't be ready.
Yeah, I totally agree. What I want to talk about, Duke, I remember Dez and Josh talking yesterday, primarily Dez, you know, talking about how fortunate and lucky they were. And Virginia Tech had their chances right there at the end. They missed a three-point shot out of the corner, and Duke knocked the ball out, and then they threw the alley-oop, and they missed it. And I think
open.
The next game with Michigan State will be a very tough game for them because they've got some grown men on that Michigan State front line. And not to sound like sour grapes, but I don't know if you guys observed this or not. I thought LeBron James was playing out there instead of Zion Williams, the way the protection. I remember two particular times they picked up the front court player, picked up the ball, and Zion Williams came down and was trying to slap it out, and he just hammered the heck out of his arm, no call. And then later on down on the sideline, he jumped in and he practically gave the guy a bear hug and no call. But once again, no sour grapes. deserve to win that game. I won't be pulling for him the rest of the way, but I will be pulling for Virginia. And I appreciate you guys letting me.
Definitely.
Thanks, Ed.
And there was another call that was missed by the referees where it was Zion Williams, and Johnny was just talking about it. He hooked the guy, hit him in the head.
Oh, yeah.
Not only did they call a foul, not call a foul on Zion, they called a foul on the other guy, and the guy didn't even touch him. The only time the guy touched him is when his face was slapped by Zion's hand.
Exactly.
And I was like, this guy gets
most
the foul?
Most ridiculous call I've ever seen all year long. And the announcers didn't elaborate on that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They talked about it like, well, actually, was it Bill Rafferty? He was like, it looks like his face kind of ran into his hand a little bit there. But
really?
I'm going to save a little bit of, because I'm not done with, I'm done talking about Carolina. I'm done. That's it. It's over. The season is done. There's still more to talk about with this team because
–
A couple other things happened over the course of this week that should give Carolina fans optimism about going forward. A, Cole Anthony was named the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game. His little brother was wearing UNC sweatpants and sweatshirt all weekend long. he's narrowed it down to Carolina, Wake Forest, Oregon, Georgetown, and Miami, I believe, is the ones there.
And now Auburn's in the mix.
Carolina and Oregon are the top two, apparently, to him. He said he's going to announce April the 20th. Armando Bacot, who's a five-star center who we need, who's already signed with us. He's been recruiting Cole Anthony as well as Precious Achiuwa or whatever his last name is. He's got Carolina on the list too. He's a 6'9" power forward. There's a lot to look forward to, and we'll find out about Kobe White's intentions with the NBA and Nasir Little's intentions with the NBA here over the next couple of weeks because the draft's going to be coming up soon. I guess the early entry deadline is going to be fairly quick. It might be around April 20th, actually. It might be why Cole picked that date. So we'll find out some more about that. Sorry.
The McDonald's All-American game, they had all the players talk about the other players and where they think they're going. And every single player that was playing said Cole Anthony was going to Carolina. And I think Precious got over half said he was going to Carolina as well.
I saw that too. Yeah.
I mean, hey, that's looking really good.
Now, if they can, even if Kobe leaves with Cole taken over that position, and then the two spot would probably, I'd imagine, probably go to Leakey or Brandon Robinson, one of those two. There, it depends on who stays and who goes. I'd rather Nasir Little stay one more year. I think he could use it as a starter playing small forward. He won't have to worry about having a Luke May or somebody in front of him. It'll be his team where he can grow. He can improve his draft stock. I don't know about Kobe, man. I'm seeing Kobe as high as number 5 on mock drafts. I don't know if he can improve it any more than that. It's really a matter of how much does he love school and does he want to come back? Because I think he could actually, I mean, All-American. He could get National Player of the Year if he wanted to. I mean, there's a lot of things he could go do if he came back for one more year and a backcourt with Cole Anthony and Kobe White back there.
Yeah, he could win an NCAA championship.
Yeah, that would be problems. I do feel bad for the senior class for Carolina, Luke May, Kenny Williams, and Cam Johnson, but in particular Kenny Williams and Luke May, because they had an opportunity this year to do something no Carolina team has ever done, which is win 2 national championships while they're at Carolina,
right,
and 3 Final Fours, and they couldn't get it done. But I'm not going to let that spoil what they accomplished at Carolina. That class, when it came in, was laughed at. I remember it. It was just Kenny Williams, who transferred from Virginia, or VCU, because Shaka Smart took the Texas mm-hmm. job. And Luke May, who was a quote-unquote walk-on when he first came on.
What a special
they have
career
turned.
Luke May had.
Oh, yeah. Just look at what they've done since their freshman year. Their freshman year was the 2016 season where we basically lost the national championship on a jumper from a dude from Villanova. They go back the next year, sophomores. Luke May hits the shot for the ages against Kentucky.
Yep. Which should have been a rematch tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't be mad at them or whatever. For whatever reasons, the way they played last night, I'm thankful for them being part of the Carolina family, and they always will be. They brought a national championship home. There's a banner up because of that class, and mm-hmm. that class was the turning point from when Carolina started getting out of the dark cloud of the NCAA investigation and everything else. I just love the fact that people laughed at that class when it first came in, and that class is probably one of the most successful classes ever at Carolina
they
in
are.
Their 4 years.
Yeah.
So thank you to those guys.
Don't be mad on how even any of the Carolina players played yesterday. Auburn just played terrific.
They played a great
game.
Job Bruce Pearl.
Thank you. I was just
going to
just stole my thunder.
Auburn.
Well, no, I mean, what a game plan. He came in, he was announcing his game plan all week long.
Yeah.
About
this. You know what? They kind of switched it up because he was saying, we like to run too. Run. They sort of did that, but what surprised me was that Auburn really slowed down. Like once they got up about 10 or so, walked the ball up the court, and they started running a half-court offense. I'm like, what are they doing? They're supposed to be shooting.
Well, that's when they
seconds.
Started shooting threes.
Yeah they started shooting. They would shoot a three at the end of the shot clock. Yeah. They'd bank in, and then Carolina's like, what are we supposed to do to stop this? But I got to take a break. We're going to change a little bit of the script here. When we come back, we haven't forgot about the Duke Blue Devils. We're going to talk about them in the next segment and how they kind of escaped again last night. In a game that I don't know if they had any business winning. We'll talk about that in the strange case of Cam Reddish. What is going on with Cam Reddish and this mysterious knee injury that just randomly popped up right before game time, and Kay didn't even know himself until tip. So 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to talk about North Carolina or Duke or the NCAA tournament, things you saw. We'll be back in a sec. It's the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Three three six seven 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 1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in, wallow in your sorrows, or brag about your team's victory yesterday in the Sweet 16. Changing it up a little bit. Normally, this segment will be Barbershop Talk. We're going to push that to segment 3 so we can talk about the other ACC game that was happening last night. And that was Zion and Duke avoiding the upset, edging Virginia Tech 75-73. Who was it? They got Hill that had that chance at the end tip that ball in or whatever?
Hill. Yeah, it was Hill.
I mean, I just feel bad for him. That was his last shot of his college career because he's a senior. And it almost looked like the momentum of his jump is the reason why he missed the shot, because he just didn't time it. Well, not even
didn't
time
it,
right.
Didn't push it up. Or anything. I mean,
he tried to tap it in, kind of. He didn't. He actually had enough time to really dunk
to
it.
Just
if
take
he wanted
a good
to.
Shot. Yeah, I mean, that's why he used the backboard.
He was wide open.
Zion's in the shot behind him, looking at it.
Yep.
And the ball just
that's who
he didn't
beat.
Get it up there far enough to get it in. Yeah. But that was probably. I said UCF was the closest Duke was going to have to a loss the rest of the way. I was wrong.
Well, Duke,
that was
Duke
that
escaped
went down.
Again. And, you know, if you look back these last few games, I'm going all the way back to the Duke-Wake Forest game that they got lucky of winning, 71-70.
Yeah, go through them.
Duke and Carolina, 74-73. I mean, all
Carolina
these one-point games.
Carolina had a chance
games.
At the end
now,
of
it. Don't get me wrong. You know, give them credit for winning the close games. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I hate giving them credit. And then, of course, UCF last week. I am still ill in my stomach. I mean, that just made me sick to see something like that happen because UCF should have had that victory.
Yeah, that game goes back to what our partner was saying who called in there, Ed. They were given calls to do – like in that UCF game, it should have been either a charge on Zion
or
no call.
No.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Or a charge on Zion – or a blocking foul on that guy that got knocked down by Zion, and Zion would have never that 2 points would have never scored. Think about that.
Oh yeah.
Call something there, and it would have helped UCF.
But they fouled
way.
The other guy out, and that wasn't right. What's his name? Fall? I can never remember his first name.
Oh, Taco.
Taco Fall.
He played a heck of a game.
They fouled him out, man. That was not cool.
Nope.
And that's what won the game.
Why aren't they calling those off? They finally called an offensive foul on Zion last night.
Well, they had to.
I mean,
he trucked that guy. He looked like an 18-wheeler running over a Yugo.
My man slid to, like, the front row. and, like, Zion's forearm is still out, like, as the call is being made. He's like, what? What happened? Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know
well,
what
that
you
forearm.
You know what you did.
And I love Zion. I think we all do, to be honest with you. But I mean, he's getting away with murder here,
and
he was hooking guys yesterday. I mean, blatant hooks.
He was
that's
hooking,
an automatic
slapping him in
offensive
the face.
Foul when you do that.
He did slap that guy in the face. Like, I don't know what it feels like to get slapped in the face by Zion Williamson, but I imagine it hurts because my man got some big hands, and it was like the dude's whole face like got all mushed.
His face got in Zion's way.
That's what they said. Yeah. That's basically what they said, too.
Exactly.
Well, his face kind of got in the way of Zion's hand. So
you're going to put a little insult to injury and call foul on your face, buddy.
Both Duke and Virginia Tech had 11 turnovers in the game. Virginia Tech shot 34% from three. I think the story of the game was Trey Jones.
He finally hit some threes.
They tried to leave him alone.
Look at the stats. He hit, what, five threes?
He was five for seven for three, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know the thing that – I understand it, but like the commentary, they were gushing over the fact that Coach K had – pulled him over to the side and practice.
Thank
and they were like, it's all about confidence. And he built the confidence up.
That's
in his
why
kid,
he hit
and
these
That's
shots
why he
today.
Hit five threes. He hit five threes because he was open.
He was wide open.
And he hit, and he had seven chances. And he's a top 10 five-star recruit. He's supposed to be hitting these shots. And we're giving
wide
him credit.
Open. Exactly.
It's like giving a parent credit for discipline your kid when he's out in the mall or something. And the parent doesn't like flip out and they discipline him the right way. You go, that's a great job. Here's a cookie for being a parent. You're supposed to be doing that. Like, I don't understand this.
No, but Coach K took him aside yesterday and talked to him
talked
around
him
the three-point line.
And now he can hit every shot
Are
because
you
of
kidding
K.
Me?
I'm like, come
oh my
on, man.
Gosh.
And like they and I thought when I saw Grant Hill was on the commentary team, I was like, okay, this could be trouble. But Grant actually did a great job. Like,
he did.
I would have almost rather it been Chris Weber instead of Grant Hill calling the game. But Grant, to his credit as a color commentator, he called it right down the line. He didn't really sound biased at all.
He's classy.
I love Grant Hill, actually. He's probably one of my favorite Duke players of all time. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on either one of these games, Carolina or Duke. Got intern Aaron wanting to chime in here a bit on one of these two games, I believe.
This is a great night of basketball all around in general. For somebody that really doesn't have a bone in the fight, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
You sound a little salty about Duke. Just a little bit.
Shouldn't I?
Just a little.
Shouldn't
it's okay. It's all right. I'm not judging you.
But shouldn't we sound salty? I mean, they won the exact same way they did Sunday.
Yeah, MVP for Duke's run here has got to be that rim from Cameron that they packed up and brought with them from the Wake Forest rim, from the Wake Forest game.
No, the MVP is wearing the stripes.
I can't think of a situation where this has happened before where one team has escaped losing like this. What, five times, four times this year? And even the loss they had to Gonzaga, that was a one-point loss.
Devils. Now,
it's driving
if
me
you
crazy.
Go back to NC State when they won that national championship.
Yeah. They had a run like
that.
But they weren't as talented.
But they were hitting
kinda
shots
like,
at the end. They weren't, I don't know.
They
just didn't
NC State
lucky.
Wasn't the number one overall seed of this tournament.
That's right.
Like, Duke's supposed to be beating people by 15 if they're overall one, right? And it's not like Virginia Tech – the thing with Virginia Tech and Auburn that people forget, both of these teams were top 10 ranked teams earlier in the year. Auburn was as high as 7. Yeah. I think when NC State beat them, Auburn was the 7th ranked team in the country. And then they had a little hole. They fell apart a little bit. And then they kind of got it back together about a month ago. And they've been they beat Tennessee. I mean, they've been beaten. I think they beat Kentucky. They've beat some teams. So I'm not shocked about it, but it hurts. I mean, we could have played a lot better. It could have been a lot closer.
You know, my younger brother texted me last night. He's a NC State grad as well as an NC State fan. And he was like, he sent me the old clip of where NC State beat Auburn. And he said, this is the reason that NC State should have been in a tournament because of Auburn. We're beating Auburn and what Auburn just did to y'all.
NC State lost to Lipscomb. NC State lost to Lipscomb a couple of days ago in the NIT at home. So I don't want to – and it wasn't even close.
Should have texted them back then. Yeah, I should. This is why they did it.
Lipscomb blew them out, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I'm not here for any Wolfpack talk today. That's not going to cut it for me. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. We do need to talk – before we hit this next break, we do need to talk about what is going on with Cam Reddish. Because we didn't know he was going to be out of this game until they were about to tip off. And apparently Coach K didn't know either.
Very interesting. Like we were talking off the air, Seth Greenberg was saying last night at 1 o'clock on SportsCenter that I was watching. He just said, he goes, okay, Hall of Fame coach, Olympic coach, you know, 5 national championships, all these Final Fours, all these. And he didn't know until game time that this kid wasn't going to play. There's something going on here, guys. And I hope so it comes out. And if it doesn't come out,
I'm here for the dirt.
Then the media is protecting these guys. I mean, this is ridiculous.
If this was any other team, they would have been all over this. Yep. Like, well, what's going on with Cam Reddish? How is it that he's dressed? And he apparently in the warm-up lines, he didn't even participate in warm-ups, really.
He just stood over there.
And he's dressed. And my understanding, Zion went over to him and was like, you know, Cam was saying he felt bad. He's going to let the team down. And Zion was like, don't worry about that. We'll win this for you. If you can't play, you're not letting us down, blah, blah, blah.
Something doesn't feel right
because I've had to listen to Josh Graham the past really month and a half with Zion being hurt about how open Kay and the Duke staff have been about injuries and that they didn't have to do this and why would they offer all this information up and whatnot. That doesn't go anymore because Cam Reddish – We didn't even know he wasn't going to play until right before the tip. And like you said, John, a Hall of Fame coach that pretty much has his thumb on the team didn't know himself until the tip-off? That doesn't sound right.
He said, like, shoot-around, film sessions, all that stuff. It wasn't being brought up.
When did
up.
It happen? They just had a public practice, like, a couple of days ago, I think. So I don't know when it would have occurred. It's almost like he banged his knee on something in the hotel room, and now he can't play. But this is a Sweet 16 game. Like, you're playing for draft stock at this point, Cam Reddish. Why would you sit out if I don't know? Something's weird with that whole thing. I don't know what's going on there.
There's
and they didn't offer any information at all. Yeah,
there's no updates right now.
They'll play. Duke will play Michigan State. They're 12-2 against them overall. 4-1 in the tournament. Michigan State beat LSU to reach the Elite Eight. I'm really hoping Michigan State just knocks Duke off because I'm kind of tired of the narrative. It's not that I don't. Well, everybody knows I don't care for Duke. I like Zion Williamson, but I've for 2 weeks now I've been like I'm kind of getting it's almost becoming too much.
The media is making it too much because I do like him, but I don't like the way the media just it's like that the media overdoes it on everything
they drool
that he
over
does.
This kid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And he can't shoot. He can't shoot jumpers. Like I was he actually shot a jumper last night and he missed it, but it was because the shot clock was running down. But think about it. Think about this whole year with Zion Williamson. Duke is leading the country in points in the paint because they have Zion Williamson. That's where all of his points come from. Yep. Rebounds. They don't even run stuff for him, really. He just cleans up, or if things break down, they just give it to him.
Yeah, he's the garbage man.
Him and RJ drive into the paint. RJ can shoot. Zion can't shoot. He doesn't have a jump shot right now. I'm not saying he can't have one, but he doesn't at this moment.
Is not a, it's a good-looking shot, though.
But it's a set shot. He's not even – he has
That's
to take time.
That's all he's going to have to do, though.
And he has to take time to shoot it. Like, if you watch him go through it, it's a motion that he has to go through.
He can't shoot it with someone on him.
He won't
if
be able to shoot
that. Someone's guarding him. He, you know, he has to take him to
– In the NBA, he won't be able to shoot that shot. And in the NBA, he's going to have to get a 10-foot jump shot or something because guys are going to leave him alone out there, and he's not going to be able to go into the paint and bully – 28-year-old grown men like he's doing. I mean, it looks like he's playing middle school kids, honestly, half the time right now.
And I agree with you. Did you see that alley-oop?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Yeah, from Trey Jones.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, his head was even or above the rim.
It was above the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was above the rim. Yeah,
I'm not saying the kid ain't good.
No,
oh, yeah, he's great.
I know you're that.
But he can't shoot jumpers. And I think eventually, I would think a team would realize this and force him to do it, and no one has. Like, no one's been able to figure out how to make him not be in the paint. UCF actually came pretty close because they were clogging up the lane. Mm-hmm. But
so Michigan State has some big boys that maybe clog the paint, right?
Yeah, they do. And and if they get past them, more than likely they're going to see Gonzaga again. And Gonzaga might be the only team left in this tournament, save for Virginia, that can give Duke a run. So.
And the key to that Michigan State thing is if Cam Reddish isn't in there, you know, that's a three-pointer, three-point guy sitting on the bench.
Well, now they if he couldn't play last night, what makes me think he's going to play tomorrow?
I don't think he will.
You know, like, it's
I'm just curious as to what in the world's wrong with him.
We never, when that kind of stuff happens to Duke, we never know until like 8 years after the fact. And then something comes out like, oh, okay, like Rashid Suleiman. You know, like, we never know what's going on until then. Ted and Taylorville wants to talk about Duke and Kentucky and UNC. Ted, you're on the line with the rundown.
Yeah, I hate UNC loss because I wanted to see them in Kentucky again because my man PJ Washington had a cast on and then he came back and done great last night.
Yeah, he did.
He certainly
did. I don't
think
he even practiced this week.
Yeah, he played great.
They didn't even know. But yeah, I agree. I think everybody wanted to see Carolina Kentucky, a rematch from earlier in the year. And kind of got robbed of that, but
because they're both totally different teams, you know. Right now.
Yeah, they really are. So we get Auburn, Kentucky, in that Elite Eight, all SEC. And knowing our luck, Auburn will have a stinker of a game, and Kentucky will coast to a win and go to the Final Four because that's just our luck. That's just what ends up happening.
Ted, yeah, you never know.
Ted, you still there?
Yeah,
yeah. I am a big Calipari fan. I know these guys are glaring at me right now, but I'm
indifferent.
I love that he's made it to the Elite Eight, and I think they're going to beat Auburn. Somehow they're going to beat Auburn. Yeah,
we might be heading towards Duke, Kentucky in the national championship game.
Yes, that's why, because we still got revenge for Leitner.
Yeah. Well, revenge for earlier this year when Duke stomped a mud hole in Kentucky, like the first game of the season.
Yes.
Would that not be the perfect bow tie on this season to have Duke, Kentucky in the final, and the story writes itself? Opening game, Duke wins by 40 or whatever it was. That launched the hype for this Duke team was that game against Kentucky. Kentucky's not the same team anymore. No. They're a really good defensive team, and I wouldn't mind seeing that. But thanks for the call, Ted.
Yep. I know it's a boring pick. I mean, I don't want to say boring. They're not as boring this year, but I still believe, I think Virginia's going to win the whole damn thing.
Well, it's starting to open up a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know if they're going to do that.
Got it.
I don't know. They're not shooting as they were before. But
Virginia's going to do it.
Somehow
they're going to do it. It's, you know what? Now, let me ask you three or two. Wouldn't that be kind of nice if they won it?
It worked for Carolina's the ACC. Like Tony Bennett.
I think they almost deserve it.
He needs it. Yeah, I was saying this yesterday on the radio that Tony Bennett might be one of the most overrated coaches because he has never been to a Final Four. He's been in Virginia 10 years. He's dominated the ACC regular season. And then they get in the tournament, and they always lose around Elite Eight or
really needs
first
to make
round.
It.
Or
really needs to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, at least the Final Four.
And I think there's a little bit of pressure off of them because I think because of what happened last
year. After the first weekend,
everybody's
the pressure
expecting
was off.
Them to lose or foul it up some way. And, of course, you remember the very first game. They were down, was it 12 points or something like that?
At halftime, they were down.
Yeah, we was in there rooting for Gardner Webb. Yeah, like, come on.
They were down big. So I think the pressure's off of them because no one's really talking about Virginia. No one's expecting Virginia to do anything.
So who they play? They play
That's Tennessee, isn't it? Is it Tennessee?
Tennessee lost. They lost.
I mean, Purdue. Is it Purdue?
Oh, Purdue. Wow, that's going to be
Purdue.
A great game.
Yeah.
Virginia and Purdue, because Purdue can put the ball in the hole.
That's today. That's tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, it
Virginia
is.
Virginia, Purdue, and Gonzaga, LSU? I think that's right.
No, I thought LSU lost.
No,
they
LSU.
Did.
No,
LSU
they
got beat.
Who did they lose to?
Just yesterday.
They lost to Michigan State. I'm sorry.
But, you know, back to that, I know we're going back a little bit. That Tennessee-Purdue game was one hell of a game.
It was overtime.
Fun game to watch.
That was an awesome game.
Tennessee had them by 20 at one time. Was that
Tennessee
right?
Fans are sick this weekend for sure. I got to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to go back, do a little barbershop talk. Who are the best college basketball teams you have seen that did not win the NCAA title? 336-777-1600 or at Sports Hub Tried on Twitter. Plus, we'll check on our poll with intern Aaron and see where that is right now. Barbershop talk next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready? Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Barbershop Talk brought to you by Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle's repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville for all your automotive maintenance needs. That reminds me, I need to go see Mac today for one of our station vehicles. Who are some of the best college basketball teams you have seen that did not win the national championship? 336-777-1600 or hit us at Sports Hub Triad and holler at our intern, Aaron. Let's get Cowboy Scott from Asheboro on first. He wants to talk about Carolina before we move on to our teams that did not win at all. Cowboy Scott, you're on the line with the Rundown.
This is Cowboy Scott. First of all, guys, I appreciate you. I listen to your show every Saturday morning. Great.
Hey, thank
great
you, man.
Hey, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, I actually work for the station here in Asheboro, 1260-949, broadcast ball games, all the different ones. I officiate basketball, but also we have a Sports Talk Live show every Monday night. So kind of know what you guys are going for, and I always like to listen to you, but I do appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah, appreciate absolutely. Yeah, thank man. You, man. Appreciate that.
Even though it sounds like it's an all-Carolina show sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that because, first of all, I'm a state fan, but I'm a Coach K fan. I go down and work his K Academy every year, been doing it for 15 years and get to meet all the guys. So I've grown to really appreciate that. But just a couple little things, and I'll get off, but I do love listening to you. Listen, Zion Williamson, I tell people around here on our show, said it early in the season, if you get a chance to watch this young man play, watch him. No matter whether you're a Carolina fan, a Duke fan, a State fan, because now, as everyone I think sees, he's a one-of-a-kind player. I mean, we've not had anyone like him in college basketball. I don't know if we will.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Y'all agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've never once have we been like, you know, we don't like Zion Williams. We actually adore the kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I know us as broadcasters in the media, sometimes we blow things out. And I made this statement Monday night. I said, look, they had a camera on him the whole game, the first game.
Yeah,
that's Tiger Woods stuff. That's never happened.
Oh, my God. You're perfect. Right. Yeah. Great comparison.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tiger Woods stuff. But, again, I'm kind of like you guys listening this morning. I just want to chime in. Carolina had a great season, overachieved in some places, really come together. Roy seems to do a good job coming together. Really be interested next year with some of these freshmen coming in, because I say this as an official. These guys are freshmen, and I know they're the best in the country, blah, 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 but still they're 16, 17, 18-year-old kids playing at the highest level you can play at Duke, Carolina, wherever, Kentucky, and that is some pressure. But that'll be something. And also with Duke finishing out here, I'm exactly like y'all with Cam Reddish, biggest surprise as anything else, but again, it just seems like these guys, to show you how good they are, they come together and find a way to win. Sometimes not pretty, but it's almost like that last shot's getting blown away every time, as Coach K said there at the end of the season. So, but you know what I'm saying? I just love listening to you guys, and I just want to throw my 2 cents in there. Not that it means a whole lot, but I do appreciate what you guys do for the people of our surrounding Greensboro and surrounding areas, and I love listening to your show.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Hey, Cowboy, before you go, does that Cowboy mean that you're a Dallas fan?
Yes, sir.
My man. Hey, I'm your man, Rod Funderburk. We're the biggest Dallas fans here in the triad, my good man.
Let me. I've been all over the country to watch him. I live for that. My wife says during football season, I don't know where he's going to be. I actually was blessed and fortunate enough to go to 6 games last year. I got an uncle that lives in Watauga, so I go out every year there. But I went twice. I went to both playoffs. I flew out. Listen to this right quick, and I'll leave y'all alone. I flew out of Charlotte to Los Angeles at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Got to L.A. their time. It was 5:15 game with the Rams. Ubered out to the stadium. Went to the game. Ubered back. Was back in Charlotte at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. Now, that's a true Cowboy.
You're a true Cowboy fan. Dude. Hey, Cowboy, make sure you leave your number with either intern Aaron or Sawyer, and I'm going to give you a call when this thing's over with here, buddy. We're going to get together and have some Cowboys stuff going on.
That's great. And listen, again, this is my first time calling in on y'all, but I'll continuously every now and then. I'll try to get back with you.
No, absolutely. Now that we know you're a Cowboy fan, on my end, we're not going to be accepting any of your calls.
Listen, hey, Cowboy, come on in. We're going to kick Johnny old out of here then.
Hey, Cowboy Scott, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you for listening to the Rundown, man, so much. Thank you so much. Let's get into these best college basketball teams you have seen that did not win the national championship, and we'll just do this roundtable style the way we normally do. I'll start it off with Johnny O.
All right, I'm going to go with a pretty recent one. Boy, they were good. The 2014-15 Kentucky Wildcats.
I was wondering if somebody was going to bring them up.
Carl Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein. You talk about a front line there.
And the Harrison twins.
Yep. Much more. And my man, Coach Calipari. But they made it to the Final Four. They were 38-0 going into that game against Wisconsin, if you remember.
Yep, I remember. They lost to Wisconsin.
And what is it, Drecker?
Sam Decker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at this
roster. Lost that game to Wisconsin. And then Wisconsin lost to Duke. Duke won it that year. So that Kentucky team was loaded.
I'm looking at that Marcus Lee, Devin Booker, Aaron Harrison, Tyler Ulis, Andrew Harrison, Carl Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein, Alex Pothras, Derek Willis, Trey Lyles, Dakari Johnson.
This might be the most loaded college basketball team of all time.
That's when Calipari said that he used to practice him in platoons. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the Harrison twins came back. They were sophomores on that team. Willie Cauley-Stein was a junior. Alex Pothras was a junior. Derek Willis was a sophomore. Dakari Johnson was a sophomore. So he got guys to come back. Derek Willis was a heck of a player. He was,
too.
Yeah. Trey Lyles, man.
How about this Devin Booker? He's lighting it up in the NBA.
Oh, yes. He's killing. I hate these in Phoenix. He might have Zion as a running mate here in a couple of months. But
that was one heck of a team to lose.
What you got, Rod?
I've got the UNLV 1991 team.
That was my number
where
one.
They were, yeah, you know, they were basically the defending champions. That's when they beat Duke by like 30 in the national championship in 1990.
Still a record.
Yeah, that is a record. That is the largest margin of victory in a championship game ever in history. And they were also undefeated, just like the Kentucky team you were talking about. They were 34-0. They obliterated everybody they played by like 27 or more points in all the games. And then they get to the very last game in 1991 where they were playing Duke again. And I think they just underestimated Duke. I think they felt like, hey, this is going to be a cakewalk. Yep. And, of course, you know, Duke had a loaded team. They had Grant Hill. Was Bobby Hurley on that team, or did he graduate?
No, he was a sophomore. They had
Christian Laettner. I mean, they had everybody.
I was a senior Christian Laettner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So they had everybody, man.
My first selection is 1998 UNC. This is probably one of the funnest teams I can remember at North Carolina. They were 34-4. They finished the season ranked number one. It was Bill Guthridge's first season. Dean Smith had just retired, but he left him a loaded squad. Just listen to this roster. You had Brendan Haywood, Shimon Williams, Maktar Jai.
Oh, yeah. Maktar Jai.
Ed Cota was the point guard. Adamola Okalaja, Vince Carter as a junior, Antoine Jameson as a junior. They were low. And this was when Vince and Antoine were at the peak of their powers in terms of their college career. I mean, Vince Carter was posterizing people. Like, we'll never see that again. Zion might be the closest to what Vince was doing his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
But when I laugh when people are like, oh, we've never seen what Zion is doing. Sort of, kind of. We've kind of seen it. Because I'm old enough to remember Larry Johnson. I'm old enough to remember Vince Carter.
Right.
I'm old enough to remember Charles Barkley. Like, we've seen some of that stuff. We've just never seen it in one kid. If Zion had a 10-foot jump shot, he'd be Larry Johnson with an extra 20 pounds of muscle.
Right.
You know, and a higher vertical. But he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what he's going to be like in the pros. I'm rooting for him. But that would be my first selection is 98 UNC. They lost in the Final Four to Utah 65-59 in a game where they couldn't hit the side of a barn. I remember watching that game and just being highly upset about that. I think Kentucky won the whole thing the two nights later. John?
Next one. I'm going to go way back because I'll let you guys have the most recent ones. I'm going to say this. 1974, UCLA Bruins.
Johnny, I wasn't even born yet.
They got beat by NC State. okay, of course, led by Bill Walton and John Wooden and company. Mm. But that same year, UCLA got their 88-game win streak snapped by Notre Dame. Austin Carr had 44 points or something like that for Notre Dame. And it also snapped a 38-game win streak in the tournament UCLA had.
Yep,
but they got beaten in 1974, and, of course, it was NC State. And you guys don't remember that, do you?
I wasn't born.
I mean, you saw highlights. Can you just throw me a bone?
I didn't even see highlights in that one, Johnny. I'm sorry.
That was in Greensboro, right? You said that was in Greensboro.
It was in Greensboro.
And that was an NC State team that had only lost one game in 2 years. So,
David Thompson and – was it Tommy Burleson?
Yeah, Tommy Burleson. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Monty Tau.
Yep. They were on probation the year before, and I think they only lost one game that year. The next year, when they were off probation, was undefeated, right? And then they ran to UCLA in the Final Four and won. Rod?
I'm going to go with a team that I hated, but they were good. The 1999 Duke team.
Dang it, man.
Where they had
stuff off my list.
Where they had Elton Brand, William Avery, Corey Maggette. I think Shane Battier was even on that team, too.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, and like Duke was like 37-1. They had only lost one game. I want to say that one loss was to Carolina, one of the split games.
I think it was.
Yep.
Weren't good that year either. It was 99. Yeah, so exactly. Everybody left.
Let's just say it was.
So they lost to UConn. Better. You know, they had Rip Hamilton. UConn had Rip Hamilton and Elamine. On that team, and Connecticut beat them, and that was a shocker, man. But I thought Duke should have definitely won that game, and they wound up being 37-2 that year.
Mm, that's a really good one too. I had to do a little scrambling here because Rod kept taking my teams out on my list. I'm gonna go with the 1982-83 Houston Cougars.
Oh, you just stole one of mine.
They were 31-3
overall,
16-0 in the Southwest Conference. Guy Lewis was the coach.
Let's hear these names. Listen to these names.
They had, the main ones, Clyde Drexler.
Clyde the Glide.
And Akeem Olajuwon before he added the H there. He was a sophomore. Clyde was a junior. Dave Rose, Michael Young, Reed Geddes.
I think Michael Young was the leading scorer of that team.
He may very well have been. They lost to NC State in the tournament championship game in 83. All the Wolfpack fans around the Triad's ears just perked up here. They won 54-52. Olajuwon had 20 in that game. But, they were the number one ranked team in the country, if I'm not mistaken, going into that game. And it was kind of like everyone's kind of expected them to win the whole thing, and this Valvano NC State team came out of nowhere
after that semi national semifinal classic against Louisville.
Right, yeah,
that was a dunk fest.
That's right. Everyone kind of considered that the national championship game, and everyone was overlooking NC State, and you get this. So that would be my second selection.
That's a good one.
All right, nice.
All right, one last round here.
All right, I'm gonna go. I'm going to save one for you because I think you might have that one. I'm going to say the 06-07 Ohio State Buckeyes. Ooh. Greg Oden and Mike Conley.
Oh, yeah.
That was a hell of a team. They were 35. They ended up 35-4. They rolled through that season. I mean, they were top notch. But Florida ended up being the national champions that year. I think it was part of their one of those. Back-to-back.
Yep.
And I got to say, I remember that team. That team was great. And that Greg Oden, Mike Connolly dynamic duel was
Oden was great.
He was.
His freshman year. It's a shame. Yeah, it's a sad tale
what happened
to him. I don't consider him a bust because, I mean, injuries are different than just not playing well.
Yeah.
But
and he just, I think, didn't it just happen with the last couple weeks ago? He actually went back to school and graduated from Ohio State.
I think I saw something about that.
That's nice. Cool.
Good for him. Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Rod, what you got?
I've got the 2008 Memphis Tigers.
Ooh, that's a good
one. It was the championship game. Memphis came in 38-1 against Kansas. And they were up, I think, by like 6 or 8 points with just under 3 minutes left in the game. And it came down to them. They missed like 4 out of 5 free throws in the very last minute of the game. And Kansas had Mario Chalmers, who came down and hit a 3-pointer with 2 seconds left in regulation and tied it. Mm-hmm. And when they went into overtime, it was like the Jayhawks was a different team. They controlled the whole overtime.
And that's when Memphis had Derrick Rose and they had Chris Douglas Roberts. And it was like Rose and Roberts just couldn't do anything in that game. And of course, that was I think that was the next to the last year that John Calipari was there at Memphis.
Yep.
And I think he stayed one more year and then he left and went on over to Kentucky. But that Memphis 2018 was a team that I thought they were going to be 39-1. But they wound up being 38-2 when the season was over with.
That was a great team, too.
It was.
It's crazy that Calipari has two teams on our list here. Yeah. And you could put, if you really wanted to, you could put 97 UMass on there,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I actually looked at that. Yeah. Yeah. I put that down.
Marcus Camby was fun.
Yes,
I remember. It was Marcus Camby and Tim Duncan. I remember that whole year. It was back and forth with Wake and UMass being one. Ranked number one all year long. And I think they made it to the Final Four. I can't remember. They did. They lost to somebody. It was 97. Was it Kentucky?
But they were definitely in the Final Four, and I can't remember. Yeah, it was.
I think it was Kentucky.
Against Kentucky. So
it was the Kentucky team that I want to say it was Tubby Smith.
It was.
It was 97, Kentucky. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they lost to them. And Wake Forest ended up losing early because Tim Duncan got sick or something, and they lost early. He was a senior, and they lost, like, Sweet 16 or something, or Elite 8, something like that, and they were one seed. I do remember.
Think about that. Tubby Smith was coaching that national championship team. Yeah. Now he's at High Point.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My last one is 1984 UNC. To me, I consider them the number one squad ever that should have won a national championship and didn't because of what they did that whole year. Like, it was almost like it was anointed to them. And then Kenny Smith broke his wrist, I want to say, like, opening round of the tournament. But that squad, they had a junior Michael Jordan at the peak of his powers. He was the National Player of the Year, ACC Player of the Year. They had a freshman Joe Wolf, who's actually the coach now for the Greensboro Swarm. Mm-hmm. They had a freshman Kenny Smith at point guard.
By any chance, did you see Kenny Smith all decked out in his
Carolina uniform?
Yeah. That was
I felt bad for
him,
too.
Yeah, I did, too, because there's nothing worse than having to watch your team lose beside a guy who's
Barkley,
rooting for the team that won.
Especially if it's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, because I think Chuck knew that Carolina should have probably won the game, but he was like, we want Carolina, and blah, blah, blah. And he was so excited about it, and then Auburn gave him what he wanted. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Auburn, but Kenny Smith looked like he was having the worst day ever.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget his son's on that team, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got a chance to see KJ at the end when they're down by 20. So,
but he looked good in uniform, man. He could still play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Except for those knees.
But that 84 team, besides them, they had a senior Sam Perkins was on that team. A sophomore Brad Daugherty was on that team.
Yep.
Matt Daugherty was on that team as well. But mainly those Brad Daugherty, Sam Perkins, Kenny Smith, Michael Jordan and Joe Wolf, I believe, were the starters on that game. And that was the first basketball team I saw live as a kid. I was 5. And they played at the Greensboro Coliseum earlier in that year. My dad took me to a game.
Nice.
And so that was my introduction to Carolina basketball. So that team has a special spot
for me.
That's
a heck of an introduction, I tell you.
Yeah,
that.
I was kind of hooked from that moment on. So, intern Aaron?
I'll throw one in after you guys, especially Johnny O. Brought back one from black and white days of television. But the 2002 Duke squad, the year after they won it, after Shane Battier graduated.
That was an honorable mention.
And they still had Jay Williams. Yep. They had Carlos Boozer after I think they lost to Indiana in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
I thought they were a lock to repeat. But
that was a 12-loss Indiana team.
Not so much.
That was a good squad. 99 Duke, I would bring up also. That team was loaded. Yeah. They had a – oh, my gosh. Let me go find them real quick. Because 99 Duke would probably have beaten 2002.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned. It was Elton Brand.
Is that the
William
one you
Avery,
had
yeah, Corey McGinnity.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Shane
right.
Battier, all those guys.
Trajan Langdon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were good. They had only lost, what, like one game, you said? And then they lost to UConn. Yeah,
that's so. It. There's another team I'd like to give some honorable mention to. Back in 85, Georgetown.
Yeah.
The Hoyas, you know, they came in 35-2. They were beating people in the first 5 games of the NCAA tournament by like 17
and
points.
And they got pitched the perfect game against them.
Villanova pitched
like 80%
perfect
or something
games.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was something nuts. Yeah. And Patrick Ewing couldn't do anything with that, man.
And throw in, I'm surprised, Dez, of course, he just used, what, 6 Carolina teams. But the Michigan Fab Five. In 92-93, they ended up 31-4. And
yeah. I'm surprised nobody said that one.
Well, honorable mention for me would have been 93 Michigan, but the fact that they lost to Carolina in that game is the reason why I didn't put them on the list.
Right.
But, yeah, if any one of those two Michigan teams should have won one, it was the 93 team, the sophomores. Right. That I mean, honestly, this Duke team, I said at the beginning of the year, they're not the Fab Five, but they're starting to remind me a little bit of how the Fab Five played in terms of they never really blew anybody out, and they relied on athleticism more than they did actual set plays or whatnot. Like, it almost looked like playground basketball mm-hmm. when they were playing, and this Duke team is doing that. I don't think this Duke team is as talented as that Michigan Fab Five team was. I mean, it still comes down to who would you have started, a sophomore Chris Webber or a freshman Zion Williamson? I don't know.
It's true.
I mean, Chris Webber had a jumper. I mean, I keep coming back to that. Like, and Webber could do everything you're seeing Zion do in the paint. Chris Webber was doing that in 1993. Like, people don't believe it, but
he just wasn't as big.
Yeah, he wasn't as big. Yeah, he wasn't 285.
Right.
But he had the same type of, like, Zion has this thing where he can get off the floor, get back down, and get back up again before the other guy comes down. His second jump is nuts. Chris Webber had that.
Yeah.
He did. He really, really did. That's why he's number one pick in the draft.
Speaking of that, I hate to bring this up, but I got to.
Oh, no.
Yesterday, Zion Williams was at the top of the key, and the point guard for Virginia Tech was coming down, and he shook Zion. I mean, he shook him out of his boots.
Yeah.
Went right past him. I was and Zion recovered and blocked it at the rim. Board. I was like, what?
What just happened? Like, I sat there for a minute, like, what just happened here? Like, I'm cheering, and now I'm like, oh, wait. What just happened? But, yeah, dude is special for real. We got to take a break. When we come back, Charlotte was in action last night against the Lakers and LeBron. We'll look at where the Hornets are in the standings, and although they're not technically mathematically out of it, can the Hornets sneak into the playoffs? Plus, do you even want them to? And then we'll take our weekly look at the NBA standings. Are the Rockets the best team with a shot to dethrone the Warriors and more? We'll catch up on the NBA next on The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah! It's
going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
The Hornets' remaining entire season will be broadcasted by the Sports Hub, including the playoffs if they make it in. WSGS Sports Hub is your new exclusive home for Charlotte Hornets basketball. The Hornets take on Steph Curry and the Warriors 8:30 p.m. tonight, right here on the Sports Hub. Hornets versus Lakers last night. The Hornets were on a four-game win streak. They lose to LeBron and the Lakers 129-115. LeBron had himself a pretty good game. 11 for 19 from the floor, 27 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. Let me go look at the standings here, because I'm wondering if the Hornets even have a shot here. There's like 7 games left in the season. The Hornets are in the 10th spot at 35-40. The 8th seed is the Miami Heat. They're 2 games out. Two games out with 7 to go. But they're, like I said, they're on a West Coast trip right now, so let's see how they go. Sawyer.
Crazy stat I read. LeBron is 28-0 versus Kemba all time since Kemba's been in the league.
28-0?
28-0. LeBron has beat Kemba Walker, whatever team he's on, 28 times and has lost not a single game.
Oh, my gosh. That's a crazy stat.
Kemba's been with the Hornets the whole time, though, right?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know what I want the Hornets to do here.
Well, Kemba's probably saying, you know what, I'm going to L.A. I'm getting sick of getting beat. No, I don't know.
I mean, the question is, are they going to pay Kemba? I mean, are they going to give him the max deal? And if they give him the max deal, is he going to be on a team that is going to be able to perform, that's going to be able to produce? Are they going to end up with the championship? Or do you just pay a guy a max deal just to keep him around? You continue to be mediocre and your team never does anything. I mean, what's going to happen there? That's my question.
I think he's – I don't know. I got a weird feeling he's going to be gone.
So you think Kemba leaves?
Yep.
I think he's going to leave too. Well, I think he should leave because the – I'm trying to think of how to put this. If Kemba gets signed to a Supermax deal, he's over the age of 30, they're going to be paying him like $40 million as he's like 35, 36 years old. Is that a good thing for the Hornets? I mean, I don't understand how they can get out of this. It's a weird situation.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, what is a good thing for the Hornets? And if a good thing comes up, are they going to see it and take advantage of it?
Well, they haven't up to this point. I mean, they really just need to make some sort of exciting move. And I don't think the exciting move is to sign them to a max contract. I mean, you want to keep them. I mean, I'd love for them to keep them, but, you know, is that – lock up a lot of money for them to make other moves, or what's the deal on that?
I'm trying to figure out what the best thing might be for them to do a sign and trade. Although the four-game win streak that the Hornets have been having before they ran to the Lakers last night, it was like Kemba was playing with the young kids. Miles Bridges was starting. Malik Monk was getting run. Frank Kaminsky was playing. They've had Devontae Graham, and Dwayne Bacon's been playing great. And I almost wish they had done this 30 games ago and just to see what they had.
Yeah.
And they might be in a better position, but they let older guys play. And now I don't know what the Hornets can do here, because even if they get into the NBA playoffs as an 8 seed, they're basically going to end up playing the Bucks, who have the best record in the whole league. And that's going to be a 4-game sweep, right?
More than likely, it's going to be a 4-game sweep.
Is Giannis back? I mean, is he going to be okay?
He's kind of playing through. He's kind of playing through
injury,
ankle injury.
So did he play after he injured that ankle? I want to check that out. I mean, they should probably rest him, make sure he's ready for the playoffs. Man, that team can make some moves. And speaking of Milwaukee, it just Jason Kidd obviously used to coach them. And there's been a lot of chatter about him going to the Lakers.
Who?
Jason Kidd.
Oh, yeah, that was out this week, Jason Kidd. Oh, okay. I was thinking Tyronn Lue would probably be the most likely guy because he's coached LeBron before, and he's got Laker history. He's played for the Lakers. So.
Y'all know who I want.
Oh,
I want Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson. That wouldn't be bad.
I think that would be such a great hire.
Now,
that would make a splash.
Now, I got a question for you guys. So we talk about this, like, Kemba, like, what's the best option? But, like, so I'm watching all the games and the highlights and stuff, and Kemba Walker can go on these like fourth quarter spurts by himself and, you know, basically just like be the dagger that the Hornets need to like close out a game every now and then and go on like, you know, 10-0 run scores by himself. Like, what do you think the Hornets could do to like get that? Do you think they need another player? Like, you want to build like a better all-around team instead of the one player, or do you want to keep him and hopefully build around Kemba? Because he's shown that he can literally, I mean, he can almost single-handedly take over a game and win it for us if the Hornets need it.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. With the money, I don't know who you get in with them if they pay them a supermax deal. And then you got the Mavericks, you got the Lakers, you got the Knicks, who I think are wanting to get him. You know, what is it that they can bring to the table if we do a trade? You know, do they have some players or anything that we want? Do they have some high draft picks that we can get for Kemba? I don't know. Right now, I guess my issue, Sawyer, I don't have a lot of faith in the management for the Hornets right now. That's where I'm at.
And we're not hearing any interest of people wanting to come to Charlotte, you know. But, you know, if they keep Kemba, you know, maybe there is a player or two that would like to, you know, play aside him, you know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. They're making a little rally here. I almost hope they don't make the playoffs. And let's see what, you know, what kind of draft pick they can get and go from there.
Let's talk about LeBron for a second, because was this a wasted year for LeBron in L.A.?
Yes.
Do you think he'll ever be in the finals again?
I'd say there's definitely a good chance. It all depends on what they do next year. You know, who are they going to get? You know, but are they going to get anybody? I mean, do the Kawhis and Durant's or whatever, you know, that they keep talking about, which I don't see that happening. But, you know, do they want to play with LeBron?
That's something that I have never understood, why guys would say you don't want to play with LeBron. That does not make any sense to me. Because even when Kyrie Irving played with LeBron, he's a prime example. If you look at it, LeBron was not selfish. Kyrie Irving took more shots than LeBron or anybody else on that team. Matter of fact, LeBron would let him have the last shot many times of the game. And then it took Kyrie leaving, going to the Boston Celtics, realizing that, hey, the man in the mirror might be the problem here. And he had to come back and apologize to LeBron and thank him for being such a great teammate and a great leader. And you're going to sit here and tell me that guys don't want to play with somebody like that? That's crazy. Granted, I understand the media, you know, may give you a backseat to LeBron James. But, hey, that's just marketing and what him and his team has done for himself. And there is nothing wrong with that. To me, that's just good NBA business. But I'm gonna be honest with you. You guys mentioned something a couple of weeks ago that made absolute sense to me. You get Kyrie Irving over to the Lakers, and then you wait on AD, Anthony Davis, to be out of his contract completely, and then you send him to the Lakers. That does two things. That allows LeBron James to be back in the finals in about 2 years. Yep. And then when LeBron retires, it allows the Lakers to continue on and grow and be a multiple championship team.
That's your best case scenario. I would agree with that. Now, and they have the money to do that too. It's just a matter of those players want to, you know, come over and play with LeBron. So, but Kyrie left Cleveland because he didn't want to play with LeBron. So,
yeah, and then he had to apologize.
Then he apologized
because he realized that he made a mistake.
We got a coach from Kernersville on the line. He wants to talk about Zion. What's up, coach?
Yeah. Quick, let me give you guys a little old man's historical perspective on Zion. Everybody's talking about comparing him to who. Go back, you might have to YouTube. You guys are too young. Remember this guy. He reminds me of a Cassie Russell.
Ooh.
Back from the 70s.
With the Knicks.
Out of University of Michigan, one of the first teams that Duke beat back during the era of Vic Bubas. He reminds me of a Cassie Russell insofar as his power and just unmatchability. And Zion might be the greatest help recovered defender I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
He does. LeBron does that. He recovers and throws those blocks down. I mean, so he's a lot like LeBron in that manner. Because like we were just talking about when the Virginia Tech guard just dazzled Zion at the free throw line, went right by him. And all of a sudden, Zion just threw that ball into the stands.
He came from nowhere, man.
But a good call.
Let me give a little shine here, going back to Kemba Walker. We had started a new segment a couple weeks ago, 1 minute with Intern Aaron. Intern Aaron, your question for today, and so you can give him a little bit of music here and set a clock for a minute. Intern Aaron, 1 minute. Should the Hornets pay Kemba Walker a supermax deal worth over $200 million, or should they sign and trade him? And you are on the clock.
They should trade somebody, but it shouldn't be Kemba Walker. Pay that man his money. Every last red cent. Pay him his money. Number one, he deserves it. Number two, what the hell else are you going to do? They got nothing else going on in the city of Charlotte but Kemba Walker. I do, however, like this little young core they have in Dwayne Bacon. I also like Miles Bridges. I also like Jeremy Lamb. Get yourself a good pick in the draft. They got a chance to eke in the playoffs, but in the chances they do miss the playoffs, they might be picking somewhere around 10. They could go for a big man. One of those big fellas from Gonzaga will probably do them well. A nice little addition. Stay with what you got. Stay the course. Build. Get Frank to take on up out of there. Get Batum on up out of there somehow or another. Pay Kemba Walker his money.
Wow. So... so you're in agreement. They should pay Kemba the $200 million.
Pay that man his money. Right. What else they gonna do? They're just gonna stink it up if they trade him away. There's really no trade partners out there. If they sign him and trade him away, nobody's picking up that contract.
And he's right at the buzzer.
Yeah.
So how much will he sign for if he stays with the Hornets? Is it like two?
Now if he signs, does that go against their cap?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right. So my thing is this. You know, maybe Walker and the Hornets just need to part. Just period. I mean, let Walker go somewhere like the Dallas Mavericks or some other team that can really help his talent and, you know, they can play to his strengths. You know, and the Hornets just start over. You know, to me, what's happening right now is not really progress. It's like we're just stagnant. We're just sitting there, just floating in the water, not moving one direction or the other. And I think we got to stop that. And I think we should not let this guy's talents go to waste. Just part ways. Start over. We got Mitch Kupchak. Just let Mitch Kupchak have a clean slate. Start over. Have as much money as we can spend and keep moving. Let Kemba go on over to the Mavericks.
If Walker becomes Supermax eligible, it'll be relative if he makes one of the three All-NBA teams for this season. If he does, the Hornets can offer him as much as $221 million over 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know why this comes to mind, but remember when Mike Conley signed it, like, the richest contract right off the bat. He was like the first guy to sign one of these max contracts, and then everybody else followed and beat that or whatever. But I mean, would he turn? And now, Memphis, isn't it Memphis? He went. They want to trade him, for crying out loud. I mean, is would Kemba kind of fall into it? Because Mike Conley was a heck of a player, and he still is, but he's not worth that kind of money. Is Kemba going to turn into a Mike Conley, meaning, you know, the Hornets after a couple of years, all of a sudden, you know, they're paying him $43, $44 million a year? and they're going to be looking to trade him.
I mean, he may turn into that kind of player if the Hornets don't bring anything in. You know, that might start working on his psyche. You know, it might start working on him from an emotional standpoint. And then he's like, hey, I got my money. I'll just go out here, do whatever I can do. Because it's not like Kemba is just completely consistent every game. You know, he's no Michael Jordan rolling hard every game. He's no Russell Westbrook rolling hard every game. You know, there are some games and it gets to the fourth quarter and you're like, Kemba, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I understand it has to do with the pieces around you because it is a team. But yeah, Johnny, I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
The 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on any of the topics that we've hit today. We'll keep an eye on these Hornets. That, like I said, they've got the Warriors later on today, so we'll see how they do with that. But coming up, we take a look at the NFL. Now that free agency has calmed down and all eyes are on the draft, we look at teams that did the best and the worst in free agency. Plus, is Rob Gronkowski a first ballot Hall of Fame player? And is he the greatest tight end of all time? We'll talk about that in just a bit. Next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
A little NFL talk here brought to you by Giada's Trattoria. Giada's Trattoria restaurant in Kernersville on Main Street with their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza. Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. A little interesting here. NFL free agency. We haven't had a chance to really touch on this yet on the rundown because there was so much other things going on with the ACC tournament and everything else. But real quick, biggest winners in free agency – I think Rod's Cowboys, actually, you guys just pulled off getting Robert Quinn, if I'm not mistaken, like a day or two ago.
Yeah, we got Robert Quinn. He came out of, was it Miami, I think it was?
Yeah, yeah. You only traded a six-rounder for him.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's a former Carolina Tar Heel player, and he was kind of an anchor over there with the Heels. But I like old Quinn. And, you know, we've also picked up a receiver by the name of Cobb. That used to play for
Randall Cobb.
Cobb.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah, played for the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got some leadership coming back in and old Jason Witten there, which I wouldn't necessarily call him a free agent. We'll just call him a signed contract guy. And, you know, we just let him heal for a year and figured we'd bring him back and for some good leadership on the field. But I think we're going to be okay. I believe we are. We'll do all right.
Well, I got to say the Browns so far.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, getting OBJ, that alone turns their offense into – they're going to have Odell Beckham Jr. They're going to have Jarvis Landry at wide receiver. They've got Duke Johnson and what's the kid's name from Georgia?
Chubb.
Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. And then you got Baker Mayfield at quarterback. All those guys are on rookie deals except for the two wide receivers. That sounds legit to me. I think that could be a really good situation for Cleveland. And the rest of that division kind of took steps back, in my opinion, because one of the losers, I think, is the Steelers.
Yeah. And now don't forget with the Browns, they picked up Vernon. I think you say his name, Olivier Vernon, from the Giants. And he's a heck of a pass rushing guy that the Giants gave up, which I don't know why they gave him up. And I don't know why the Giants did anything that they did this year. They were just terrible. And Myles Garrett, edge attack. And they also picked up Sheldon Richardson, who's an inside linebacker. And he's probably going to fill that void left by Jamie Collins, who came over from the Patriots a couple years ago. And, I mean, the Browns really cleaned up. You know, it's just going to be a matter if they can coach that talent and get that talent where it needs to be. I just hate the fact that they let Greg Williams not remain there. Of course, you know, we talked about it. They had to keep Kitchen as the – you know, he was an offensive coordinator, and their quarterback liked him, so you had to make him the head coach. But I tell you what, having Greg Williams there would definitely solidify that defense, although they do have the Panthers' old defensive coordinator coming over who used to be the coach over there at the Arizona Cardinals. Was it Wilkes is his name?
Yeah.
So he's coming over to, handle that Cleveland Browns defense. But, yeah, I think the moves that Cleveland made were some of the – biggest moves that could be made. They've got some star players, and I think they probably have the most talented roster probably since 1999, you know, over two decades ago.
It's going to be exciting to watch them. What do you think of, I know Jacksonville was pretty down, but Nick Foles going to Jacksonville, can he you think he can spark them a little bit? I mean, from where they were, what, just 2 years ago? I mean, they were right in the mix.
I mean, go ahead, Diz.
I mean, it seemed like last year they took a step back. I don't know. I don't trust Nick Foles. Like, it feels like Nick Foles is only good in January. Like, at the beginning of the year, he's average for the most part, it seems like. Yeah, he's got to have the Eagles personnel. I don't know if Jacksonville can really build that up. I'm just looking at what's happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they've lost. They basically lost a top three running back and a top three wide receiver in the whole league in, like, the same, like, offseason. And it seems like the reason is Ben Roethlisberger, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like he kind of ran them off?
Everybody's saying that.
Yeah, and I was
coming right out and saying it.
Yeah, they're coming out and saying it. And I was going to say, in addition to that, not only have they lost those players, it seems like they've lost a whole team because of Ben Roethlisberger. Because I'm going to tell you what, when people start saying things like that about Ben Roethlisberger, and there are no teammates to come to Ben's defense. Did you guys notice that? No other teammates who remained on Pittsburgh's team came to his defense, which usually means that's either what they're thinking or they've had some kind of run-in with Ben and told him that themselves. So that's always a problem. So my question is, can the coaching staff pull this team together and get them playing the way they need them to? And I tell you what, that GM didn't do any favors by the comment he made saying that Ben Roethlisberger was the leader of this team of X amount of kids. You don't call grown men playing football kids. You're asking for a problem when you do that.
Very unusual to have, you know, be talking about Pittsburgh like this, you know, because they're usually, you know, very class organization and always winning. But it is really looking like old Ben is worn out his welcome.
And I'll tell you
what. Did he ask it for an extension? Because remember, he was trying to retire like 2 years ago.
That's what I was going to say. He went on a spiel of every year. I don't know if I'm going to retire. I don't know if I'm going to come back. He went on a spiel for about 2 or 3 years saying that. And then they decided, okay, well, we're going to draft a quarterback. And then he got upset when they drafted a quarterback. But I'll tell you what, ever since they drafted that quarterback, have you heard Big Ben say, well, I don't know if I'm coming back. Well, I'm going to have to evaluate the end of the season. You hadn't heard him say a word on that. His butt is coming back. He's playing a game with the Steelers. And you know what? Just that in itself lets me know that it is a strong chance that what Le'Veon Bell was saying and also what the receiver was saying, it could be true about Ben. It really could. I just believe that it could be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying that I don't remember this, but Roethlisberger's been called out by former teammates and players across the league, including being accused of fumbling a ball on purpose because he didn't like a play call.
I remember hearing that.
What in the world?
Yeah, I heard that too.
He's 37 years old. I mean, they're kind of tied to him, really. Yeah, I mean,
he's taking advantage of the organization.
Yeah, and I've heard that he would not throw you a ball on purpose if he was mad at you, even if you were open. Now, that is no business. You're in the business of trying to win football games. You only have 16 to play in the regular season, and you're going to take a chance and not throw it to somebody if they're open because you're upset with them?
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, how
childish
is
that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
No.
I'm trying to think of another. I think the Panthers have actually been a big winner, too, in the offseason. They haven't spent a lot of money, and they filled in a lot of slots on the offensive line. They've been very good with their money and what they've brought in, and I'm actually pretty excited because now they can just do best player available in the draft. And they weren't that far off. They just kind of fell off when Cam Newton's shoulder fell off. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you who else I think won, too. The Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, the Oakland Raiders, like you just said, they started with a trade for Antonio Brown for what, a third or at a fifth round pick? Antonio Brown, you get him for a third and fifth round pick. That is winning, baby. And then
screw
you go
the Raiders.
Hey, and then you go, check this out. They signed Trent Brown, which they gave him, I think, too much money. But he's one heck of an offensive lineman. So now you're talking about Derek Carr possibly being protected, and that's going to make his life a little bit easier sitting back there in that pocket so he can get the ball over to Antonio Brown. And then they signed the deep threat from, I think, the San Diego Chargers. Was his name Terrell Williams, I believe it was. And I think that's what pushed Jordy Nelson to go ahead and retire. So I mean, I think the Raiders won. At least they have the talent. Now, John Gruden can do anything with it, that's another story.
Those Kansas City Chiefs should be really nervous right now.
Don't forget this, Aaron, intern. Let me lay this on you too, baby. Don't forget what the Raiders did. They got the former Rams franchise tag player LaMarcus Joyner on that defense, baby. So hey, y'all, the Raiders, they coming to get you.
The Chiefs ain't worried about nothing they doing over there. Antonio Brown is washed. It's about over for him. And even if he can play, he'll probably look something like what Randy Moss looked like in Oakland all those years ago. And people never even count those years Randy Moss went to Oakland. Derek Carr is shell-shocked. He won't be able to get the ball to him at all. They'll figure that out somewhere around mid-season. The Chiefs got a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, God. Isn't there a one-minute limit on this? Hey, buzz him. Buzz him.
They'll be just fine. We forget about the Jets in free agency. They landed Le'Veon Bell. They got a second-year quarterback in Sam Darnold coming back, who's out to have something to prove. They also have the third pick in the draft, which I think they probably could trade down and get some more picks for that third-round pick. So the Jets could be making some moves with the addition of a Le'Veon Bell.
Pinch a nerve over there?
Hey, the Raiders. I'm going to remember you said that.
The Aaron. Raiders.
Aaron, we're going to have to do a side bet when the Raiders, play. I'm telling you, baby.
Let's talk Gronk, man. I'm going to miss.
Let's go. So Gronk, he announced he's retiring this week. Is he the greatest tight end of all time?
I don't want to call him the greatest.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But real close. But he's good. I mean, he did unbelievable. When he was on the field, he was incredible. But, man, you think there's a lot of great, great tight ends. And I'm going to say Kellen Winslow, for whatever reason. He sticks out to be the greatest I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to
Gonzalez.
Yeah, Gonzalez.
You know, even the guy for San Diego, is he still playing?
Gates, Antonio Gates.
How many years is he?
Well, he was out, and then the guy that the Chargers drafted to be the tight end got hurt, and they asked Gates to come back, and he did the rest of the year last year.
But the Gronk is there, man. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean you know, he's right with those guys, and maybe he is better in a couple.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tight ends out there. It take you back to history to guys like Mark Bavaro, man. I mean,
that's a good pick.
Tight ends,
you
know, like what? That. I mean,
I should have mentioned him.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys.
So here are his career highlights and awards, so we can kind of put this out on the table here. So he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion. He made the Pro Bowl 5 times, including a stretch from, 2011, 12, 14, 15, 17. He's a 4-time first-team All-Pro. He's the NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 2014. He was the NFL Receiving Touchdown Leader in 2011. And then there's some college stats. He had 521 receptions, 79 receiving touchdowns. If I'm not mistaken, that's the most in the league since 2011.
It really is. I mean, that's an amazing stat. Most by a tight end overall. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, and I mean, Greg Olsen's no slouch when it comes to tight ends.
So here's the question. If you had to choose a tight end, you're in the Super Bowl, you're the coach, and you get to choose between a healthy Rob Gronkowski or a healthy Tony Gonzalez.
Wow.
Both of them at their peak.
Great question.
Which guy would you pick?
I'm going Gronk.
I think I am too.
I'm going to Gronk.
He was impossible to guard. Like, I mean,
maybe so. I tell you another tight end who wasn't bad. It was Shannon Sharp, man. Yeah. This dude was a 3-time Super Bowl champion. He was voted to the Pro Bowl 18 times. Yeah. He was first team All Pro 3 times. He was NFL's 1990s All Decade team. I mean, he finished with 815 receptions and over 10,000 yards and 62 touchdowns. I mean, and he's a Hall of Fame. He went to the Hall of Fame. I mean, so Shannon Sharp was a heck of a tight end. There are some tight ends out here.
There's a few others that we're leaving out,
too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you want. Like, Gronk, if he's healthy, I think, maybe he's the guy you want. Because what I do like about Gronk is he can block. He's that extra guy who you can have on the end to make sure that your runner can get down the field or create a running lane for the running back. So Gronk can block. But that's a hard question. I can't really answer that question, Dez. I'm going to be honest with you because you'd have to give me an
opportunity. Of course you can. You can't answer the question.
I can't answer that question because I may not want Tony Gonzalez. I may want somebody else. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Who would you want?
That's what I'm saying. I'd have to think about it. I don't know. Like I said, Shannon Sharp would be in the running.
So if you could choose between Shannon Sharp and Gronkowski, both healthy, you'd pick Shannon Sharp?
There's a possible chance I'd pick Shannon Sharp.
Oh, he's waffling.
saying, man. Like, I remember Shannon playing, but I didn't remember all of his years playing. I'm here with Gronk seeing everything. It's kind of like those kids who say LeBron's the best because I've seen LeBron play, but they hadn't seen all of Jordan play. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, they may pick LeBron because they hadn't seen all of Jordan. All right. That's all I'm saying.
That makes sense. And I hate to even mention this. I mean, is Jason Witten even in the conversation?
Yeah, I'd say Jason Witten's in the conversation. Yeah. I mean, because he was voted to the Pro Bowl 10 times. He just hadn't won a Super Bowl. He's had over 11,000 yards in catches. He had 64 touchdowns.
See, I was afraid to mention
you see what I'm saying? And he has over four 1,000-yard seasons. So, I mean, yeah, he's in the conversation, too. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, and this is not putting down – we're not putting him – I mean, he – plus, personality-wise, though, man, he's got it. You know, he's marketable.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him just being in the league.
And I'll tell you what, Tony Gonzalez actually has over 15,000 yards in receptions, and he was in the he was on the 2000s All-Decade team. So, you know what? I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
I'm taking Tony Gonzalez.
Wow.
Took you long enough.
I'm taking Tony Gonzalez.
Wait. Okay, so wait, Gronk, he has several NFL records, including being the only one of his position to lead the league in receiving touchdowns. That was 17 in 2011. That was probably his most unstoppable year. He's had the most seasons with 1,000-yard receiving yards by a tight end. He's had four. The most career postseason receiving yards by a tight end.
Well, he's tied then if he has four. Jason Witten has 4,000.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah,
and I know Olsen's got three. And then he also has the only tight end in NFL history to reach 1,000 or more yards in the career in the postseason. He's got the most career postseason receiving touchdowns with 12, the most combined receptions, the most receiving yards by a tight end in Super Bowl history, first in average receiving yards per game, average yards per target, average touchdowns per game among tight ends. I mean,
among tight ends playing now,
ever.
So, how many career receiving yards does he have?
He finished with 7,861.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez has 15.
I know. Tony played like twice the amount of time, right?
Yeah. Hey, doesn't matter. You asked me a question. Listen, when you talk now, you're talking about experience. So now you're talking about Tony's going to see things on the field that Gronk would miss because of his experience. You're also talking about having two wide receivers and a tight end playing in New England. Tony Gonzalez played on teams where there were so many wideouts, and he may have been the third, fourth option, but he was just always the man who could do it. I mean, there's a lot of factors, a lot of dynamics when you're talking about that. So that is a difficult question, Dez. You always make things hard on the show, man. Why do you do us like that?
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to get in this last segment here before we're off for the day. Give us a call. When we come back, we'll get a poll from intern Aaron. We'll get a reading from that from earlier today. And we'll finish this up with odds and ends here when we come back. This is the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Winding up another edition of the Rundown, Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Rod Funderburk, Sawyer Dillon, intern Aaron in the house. Intern Aaron, can you give us a update on our poll of the day? One game, winner takes all situation. Who would you want to be your coach, Coach K or Roy Williams?
The triad has spoken. This is going to rub some salt in some wounds.
Oh, gosh.
Not really, because I might be with the triad.
One game, winner takes all. Who would you want to be your head coach? 62% of the triad goes Coach K over Coach Roy Williams to be their head coach in a winner-takes-all basketball showdown.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really blame them. There have been many times I have stated that with the Carolina team that I've seen lose in the NCAA tournament, I've said, you know what, I think if Coach K had that team, he might take them to the Final Four. I have said that quite a few times.
Okay. That's ugly coming from a Carolina
It really was.
I mean, but hey, I've said it. I ain't going to lie to you.
Odds and ends. Let's wrap this.
Roy has
here.
Made me mad a bunch of times, especially with his
but he's
non.
Saying this the day after.
Yeah, of course.
Sawyer said
we just lost. That's right.
Sawyer set a top clock for 1 minute. The end of 1 minute, we'll hear a buzzer sound. Five topics, rapid fire. Let's go ahead and get this thing going.
All right, here we go. Starting out, who should be the free agent the Lakers make the priority to pair with LeBron James this offseason? Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or Kemba Walker?
Priority? I think out of that mix, it should be Kyrie.
Ooh, I agree.
But I don't think he'll be the easiest to get. I think one of the options they might have is packaging up some of these young guys and convincing Charlotte to do a sign and trade so Kemba still gets his money, and then trade him to LA for, I don't know, Lonzo Ball. And I'd take Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma. I don't think they'd give up Kyle Kuzma, but I'd take those two and like a second round pick or something for Kemba. I'd take that and kind of roll with that and see. But now, if I could choose between all of them, I'd rather have Kevin Durant, of course. But
yeah. But between Kyrie and Kemba, you know, I would love to see Kyrie go there because I don't see Kawhi or Kevin Durant going to the Lakers and playing with LeBron.
I don't either. I mean, Kawhi and Kevin Durant, they both play small forward. So does LeBron James. So I don't even know how that would even work. But yeah. he needs a guard or something.
All right, next up, NFL will allow reviews of pass interference in 2019. Good or bad idea?
I'm just going to say a bad idea real quick, and I'll let you guys take it. Mm-hmm. It's just too many things are being reviewed, so I just don't want that.
I know New Orleans wants it. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think in order to get the game right, I think they have to do it. It's a good idea, but it also has to be the same way with any other review. You have so many reviews, you can't just be reviewing things. And then, of course, it can come from upstairs under 2 minutes of the game. And I think that'll get some of the calls right. Because, I mean, let's be fair, guys. The New Orleans Saints should have been in that Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you something. I think the New Orleans Saints had a better chance of beating the Patriots than the Rams did. So, just a thought.
I don't know how this is going to work because my understanding is that the like New York can call down and be like, hey, we need to review that play. So like that New Orleans Rams play, New York could have been like, hey, we're going to review that upstairs and then call pass interference when it wasn't called on the field. I don't like that. No. I think it still should be the refs call and then whatever they called on the floor or on the field has to stay and has to be indisputable to turn it over. Go ahead.
All right, next question. If Zion was on the Hornets this year instead of Kemba, would the Hornets be a playoff team?
This came from a number of talking heads in the sports media over the past week with this weird idea that if Zion was on the Hornets instead of Kemba, that they'd be a playoff team. I'd say no. Zion isn't – let's say that happens. Zion's playing for the Hornets and Kemba isn't. I don't think the Hornets would be that much better than what they are right now. I don't think.
I agree. I think Zion, it, with certain teams, would, you know, he would have made that team much better. But the Hornets, no. There just isn't enough there for him to
he
really
doesn't
take
have
it
a
to.
Jump shot. He doesn't have a jump shot, people.
But I still think, you know, he could have played in the NBA this year. And I'm going to say it again. I think he would have been an all-star.
Now, if he'd been on the Hornets with Kemba, that's different.
Oh, with Kemba,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's a different story.
Yeah, I don't know which it is, to be honest with you, because when you look at him playing with Duke, they're a different team with them. So, I mean, could that transfer over to the NBA? Would the Hornets be a different team with Zion Williams on there? Does he make them better? Does he make them have passion and have everybody else to play harder? I don't know.
All right, next up. Bryce Harper, booed by the Philly fans in his debut, cause for concern or Philly being Philly?
I'm going to say that's Philly being Philly. That's just how it goes. I mean, the guy signed a $330 million contract. He went 0-for-3 his first game. Now, tomorrow or today, he might be playing. He's going to hit maybe a two home runs or hit a couple doubles, and Philly fans will cheer him on like no other. It's just part of the game.
I agree. Philly being Philly, we saw it with Randall. What was the quarterback for the? I keep forgetting his name. Quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, McNabb.
Oh,
you remember
They
booed McNabb whenever they drafted McNabb?
Oh, yeah.
Did not want him. Booed him for the first few games, and then it was time for him to go. They hated it. Didn't want him to leave. Didn't want him to go anywhere. Exactly. Philly being Philly, that's what they do.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I mean, it's only the first. I mean, he went 0-for-3. I mean, his first day in Philly, it's opening day. The Philly fans, I mean, they threw batteries at people. They booed at Michael Irvin when he was laying, you know, on the ground with the end of his career. I mean, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus. I mean, this is kind of what they do.
It's Philly fans saying, "Hey, we expect a lot out of you."
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, Celtics with Kyrie 5-12 in the last 17 games. Without Kyrie, 8 straight wins. Will Kyrie be in Boston next season?
I don't think he will. It's pretty clear at this point that they're much better without him.
Yeah, well, even with them being better without him, Kyrie is causing a little more problems in his media interviews. I mean, he's criticizing game plans. He's kind of throwing some of the players under the bus whenever he talks.
I mean, Kyrie, it's all about Kyrie. When he's talking, he's like, hey, it's me. I'm doing all I can. This is my team. But the rest of the team doesn't agree that that is his team.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to show him this is not your team, and Rod, he's going to head out.
Rod, I agree with you totally on that because, I mean, why does he have to talk about that in the media? I don't understand when players start saying stuff about their team to the media.
I don't either.
It just makes no sense. That usually means I want out.
But he's running out of places to go. I mean, he might have to go to L.A. because I can't picture – I know the Knicks have come up, but why would he leave Boston to go to the Knicks?
Yeah, he might be forced to get out of Boston, though.
He might. I mean, they might very well
if they trade him.
Force his hand.
Yeah.
So that there we go. Download full episodes of The Rundown and The Best of the Drive with Josh Graham at sportshubtry.com. They're at the very top of the page. Super easy to download. You can listen to us any time of the day on your phone. Download the free WSGS Sports Hub app from Google Play or iTunes. And don't forget to check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Pod Center. Hear weekly podcasts like The Rundown, Four Man Rush, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, and more. Now available on all major podcast formats, including Spotify. Brought to you by our friends at Ray's Auto Body and Wrecker Service. So definitely check that out. We will be back next week for Final Four Saturday on The Rundown. Have a good one.